Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Welcome. Hello. It is November 28th, 2012. We are moving through the last few days of November. Incredible month, heavy month, busy month, and I hope it's been wonderful for you, transformative and empowering, and a lot of energy circulating. My name is Molly McCord, and this is my weekly radio show, ConsciousCoolChic.com. It is connected to the popular website, ConsciousCoolChic.com, and it's where you will find tons of information, intuitive messages, astrology updates, empowering insights, all kinds of stuff. I really try and mix it up and offer a variety because that's what appeals to me. I'm someone who's out there connecting with a lot of different energies, and I want to offer that to you as well. So please enjoy and take a look at the website to see if there's anything there that resonates with you. I do this show every week because it uplifts me to share information and energy with you. Thousands of people listen to this show, and I am grateful for every single one. It's an incredible thing these days to have all these different ways we can communicate and connect with each other. So please know that the door is open. If you have questions for me or if you wish to connect with me, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, and, of course, through the website. So I invite you to reach out if you'd like to for any reason. Today's show is very exciting to me. This topic has been with me for months now, and I've come back to it and let it go. I've come back to it and let it go because the timing wasn't right for whatever reason. So I scheduled it for this week, and there's something about right now that makes this topic around celebrities very timely. I connect it to the lunar eclipses and solar eclipse we've just had. I connect it to the portals that we have remaining for the rest of this year and in 2013, there's something around right now where we need more understanding and more information around those that we put on public pedestals. So this conversation today is going to be really fascinating. It's channeled information. It's intuitive. I did feel the presence of Princess Diana with some of this information coming through. So I'm excited to share that with you. A few quick announcements. On Thursday, November 29th, that's tomorrow, I am delighted to be the featured guest with Alana Pratt in her Intimate Conversations weekly series. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. I invite you to please check it out if you are drawn to these types of interactions. She gets into the deeper, awesome, juicier stuff of people and what's going on for them and really opens doorways that allow us to get to know one another better. So if you're interested in listening to that conversation, I would love for you to stop by and check it out. You can find out more on her website, alanapratt.com, and it's the Intimate Conversations is the weekly series. And the other thing I want to share with you is that today is the lunar eclipse, November 28th lunar eclipse. It was at 6:45 a.m. here in the Pacific time zone. This lunar eclipse is felt, as all lunar eclipses are, weeks beforehand and weeks after. One, the day it happens, the hour it happens, is that strong power period, but it isn't, it's been in effect for a while now. It's been flowing and working with us. Anything that happens to you over these 2 weeks is going to be key in who and how you are transforming, what you are letting go of, what is completing for you so that you can be the next highest version of yourself. We're continually exfoliating and growing. You know, we're releasing and letting go. Things are shifting for so many of us, for all of us. And we're going through these phases with as much grace and joy and empowerment as we can. If you want more information about how this lunar eclipse is working with you specifically, last week's show on November 21st, the second half of the show, I went through and talked about what it means for you based on your astrology chart. You want to find 6 degrees of Gemini in your chart, and I go through every house, every astrological house, so that you can pinpoint the themes that are included with this lunar eclipse. Now, this eclipse is the last one of 2012, and we have some more power dates coming up. So just to make a little note for your calendar, there's a few more power dates happening here as we end 2012. The next one is going to be 12-12-12. That is a portal. That is a big energetic portal of energy coming through. It's fascinating because this energy of the three numbers in a date lining up, it's the last time this is going to happen in the century. There's no 13-13-13, right? Because we don't have a 13th month in our Gregorian calendar. So the 12-12-12 is a powerful completion from the energy that initiated back in 2001 on January 1st, 2001, 111. And then every year since then, we've had these portals coming in that are synchronistic. And so then there was February 2nd, 2012, March 3rd, 2003, and so on, until we arrive at December 12th, 2012, and the phases we've been moving through with each of these energies. It's like a step up the ladder, but it's not just a step. It's like these. Each step is a layer of energy that is being brought in and imprinted into our experiences. If you can even remember where you were in January 2001, I was thinking about that earlier, and I really had to get out some pictures and look through my resources to remember what was happening in my life at that time. If you look at January 2001 and then you look at where you are now, what are the themes for you? What has changed and altered and shifted and grown? It's all part of this energy that we've been moving through with each of these triple date numbers. So as December 12, 2012 arrives, we are completing that phase. It's no coincidence that it happens within weeks of the end of the Mayan calendar, which is also another portal. And as we focus on the Mayan calendar ending, you know, there's tons of workshops and articles and events and everything celebrating that. Remember, it's also a brand new beginning. The next 26,000 years begin. And you are here. You are a part of that beginning. So as we are looking at what it means for something to end, we are also starting again in a new space with new energy. So have in mind what those intentions are for yourself, how you want to start in the highest and best possible way. I think that's a very important thing right now, is that you can look at how the end is near, but the beginning is near too. And that is another important portal for us, is December 22nd, 2012. And then, as with all energy, it just continues. It just keeps growing. So I wanted you to have those dates in mind, to make the most of them, to make the best of them, and to know that you are powerfully creating every day in the best possible ways, despite what is happening in your career or in your love life or in your any other area of life that maybe has been stirring up gunk and junk for you, any of those fears that are coming up. Even though you're experiencing any fears, you're still creating. And that is the beauty of right now, is that we get to consciously choose which way to direct our energy. So I know that I remember that for myself every day, that as things are ending, I am creating in that very same moment. So, big stuff happening. It's an exciting time to be here. And I am delighted to move forward with this topic about the spiritual purpose of celebrities. This is a very, I found this to be very invigorating and fun, and I just have a lot of information coming in about it because, you know, celebrities play important roles for us, and we can overlook that. We cannot notice it. You know, we can see them on a cover of a glossy magazine and read the latest headline and think that's who they are and that's what they're about. Or we can look at politicians and make judgments. Or we can watch people on TV and think we have them all figured out because they're on a reality show. So we're going to look at these roles and why certain souls choose to experience fame, celebrity, the purpose of Hollywood, the energetic connections there. There's lots here. So I want to begin with a quick historical perspective based on humanity's documented history. You know, this is before we had modern-day media. We were told and we chose at a soul level to play this game where we came here to have human experiences, to be on the earth, to have our feet on the ground, to eat food, to have money, to experience all these tangible things with our five senses. And as part of that, we agreed that part of this game, part of this evolution, is that we would look for answers outside ourselves. We would assume and give other people power because we deemed them as having more answers than we did. Now, this is most obvious in religion, in the church. But look even at ancient Greek and Roman times, where the great politicians, the military leaders, the civic leaders were looked to for answers for everyone. And we believed that spirituality and God was beyond us and in someone else more. We believed that priests and monks and someone connected to the church had answers. All of this plays an important role. We extended our authority to other people. We extended our beliefs and connected to other people through mutually shared beliefs. And throughout the history of humanity, we have built upon those principles. We have decided that that works. Yes, we will build different ideologies and philosophies and cultures and institutions based on the fact that other people know a little more, other people have a greater connection to God, and that I'm going to follow them and I'm going to do what they do and listen to them. Because somewhere deep inside us, we chose to believe that we didn't have the information, that we weren't blessed, that we weren't divine enough, we weren't chosen, we weren't the ones. And so we decided to play this game, and that part of the game was to be on a quest for the information. Now, throughout humanity's growth and throughout the documented calendar years, we can see how this has shifted and how the power has been extended in different ways. Now, with multimedia, and certainly within modern-day cultures, there are numerous ways that we connect with people, and we can see these messages more clearly. We can see powerful politicians, business owners, people of influence with money, with resources. And these are all the people that we have extended these same beliefs to because we have continued the unconscious understanding that other people deserve to be worshipped. And this idea of worshipping has been integral to humanity for so long. It's been something we've accepted and we've needed and we look to it. You know, you look for that person who knows more that you can learn from. Now, there's nothing wrong with this. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's just been one way this energy has continued, is that it's based on the idea that because others have information or because they have money or they have more connections, that they are more powerful and that we therefore can worship them. We can put them on that pedestal. idealize them. And eventually what happened is we've created a society that has taken this worshiping principle and placed it upon other people unconsciously because we believe that they are better than us or they're more deserving or that they have something that we don't have and we want it. Or we believe that they are more deserving because of who they were born to or the structure they are born into, for example, royalty. So we've taken all of these beliefs that power is outside of us, that divinity is outside of us, that other people are more deserving, and we place them on other souls. Now, these souls also volunteered for this. We're going to get into that too. The ideology and concept of celebrity and being famous encapsulates and perpetuates worshiping outside ourselves. And what happens is that we start to rely on this and we look to it for answers. And we also unconsciously disempower ourselves if we don't understand the energy dynamic that's in play here, or where you're giving away your power, or where you're searching to others for answer. Now, in recent years, this movement has shifted a bit. Look anywhere online or in book or magazines or videos, and you'll see it's all about returning to self, meditation, coming back to you for answers. That has been a critical component of humanity's shift in consciousness and empowerment, returning back to ourselves for worship, returning back to ourselves for understanding and empowering who we are and knowing that our answers are within. That's been a critical change in the game. And that's because we've also set it up this way to remember that even though we started historically by believing that others had more information, we set it up so that at some point we would return to ourselves and our God within as having those answers. So why did we co-create a system that amplifies and perpetuates certain powerful individuals over the masses? Well, it's based on the principle of separation. It's based on hierarchy, that we have to have those who are more powerful than ourselves, that separation is because we aren't connected to God or because God is outside of us or divinity is outside of us. And again, we changed the game. We said, no, wait, I'm pretty sure God is inside of me and that I am connected to this person. I am connected to my neighbor. I'm connected to the woman who works at Starbucks. I'm connected to the people I see on YouTube. And I'm going to open up to that connection and embrace it instead of perpetuating separation. So this is why we're living in a very critical time in humanity's evolution. It's also why it's beautiful that the Mayan calendar is ending and a new calendar of consciousness is beginning, because the tides have been shifting and we have taken the reins and said, I want to change how I experience myself as a soul, and I'm not going to give my power away. I'm not going to look at another for more answers. I am not going to put someone on a pedestal because of their income or because they're on television or because they rule the world of building yachts or something, because they have more power in the business world. We're saying, no, I'm not going to give my power away. I'm going to instead bring in people and remember that I am connected to them. And with this, we also have a shift in understanding the beautiful divine role that celebrities play, that those who choose fame, who are on magazines, who choose to be famous, have a beautiful spiritual purpose. And it's interesting because we can appreciate them better at a soul level if we have a better understanding of why celebrity exists. Now, there are unlimited reasons and combinations that a soul can choose to experience their lessons and to grow. So that means that every famous person we could ever think of and list would have their own unique formula, just as we each have our own unique formula. You know, we have certain lessons that we consciously chose. We have certain areas of our lives that we want to evolve in and grow past. So it's important to know, too, that celebrities range from old souls to new souls. There's a huge range, just as in any population. There's the full spectrum and continuum. We can't say that all celebrities are new souls and that they're here just to experience money and acknowledgement and influence. We can't say that all celebrities are old souls and that they know exactly what they're doing and that they're very peaceful and zen. There's a combination. There's everywhere in between. So let's look at some of the reasons why a soul would choose to be in the limelight. One is to experience external acknowledgement. Perhaps there is a celebrity, many celebrities, who have had lifetimes of solitude, and they did a ton of personal work in private. Maybe they contributed a lot to society in previous incarnations, and now they are receiving an energetic balancing of that work. That now it's their turn to step out from the shadows and be recognized for everything that they've contributed before. Maybe it's a soul choice to see if they like being well known, only to discover they do not. Maybe it's a soul group that comes in to teach about the responsibilities of fame and how to use it with a higher purpose of service and giving back to humanity. I see this a lot with celebrities that are involved in charity work and foundations, nonprofit organizations. They want to use their platform in the form of service and to give back. So the reasons for fame are to experience the receiving of acknowledgement and to be put in a place in society that balances out previous experiences of being alone, isolated. Okay, I'm feeling a lot of energy shift with that. So I'm feeling that there are quite a few celebrities who, okay, and I'm being told not to say names, but it's just a matter of seeing that this is their time to shine because it could have been lifetimes where they did not, for whatever reasons that they chose. Other reasons that people may choose to be famous include the financial energy and the money associated with big box office productions and having best-selling books and being on the top of the Billboard 100. The money component, experiencing financial energy. That's a huge lesson. That could be someone's main objective in a lifetime is to work with financial energy. It could be because they've had lifetimes of poverty and destitute. I've felt it and seen it that one of the richest men in the world was a beggar in his last lifetime, experienced a completely egoless existence. No home, no money, no family, no food, just nothingness, if we were to call it that. And not only nothingness, but suffered through extreme illness and loneliness. Literally had no one in the world to connect to. So this time around, think of everything that you can do with a lot of money to balance out that experience of illness, of destitute, of not having any resources. What do you do then to create a whole new experience based on what your soul chose previously? Souls can also choose to have lifetimes filled with money because previously maybe they didn't handle money very well. Maybe they did have a ton of money previously and a lot of financial resources and they messed it up or they gambled it away or they squandered it. They didn't use it responsibly. So this is round two. And they want to try again to do right where they thought they did wrong. The universe doesn't judge us as wrong, But we can have that experience of, oh, I should have done better. I could have done better. I'm going to go back and I'm going to try again. And this time I'm going to hit it out of the ballpark. There's other celebrities where lifetimes were about money and the money meant everything. The money meant everything, and now they have the opportunity to choose differently. You have all this money. You were born rich. You have the trust fund. What do you do? What new choices do you want to make? And another potential is that you have the opportunity to do more giving and receiving with financial energy. So you could be choosing to work with money as a way to balance financial energy for yourself and for the planet by continually donating and giving it away. Or do you choose to keep it for yourself and to withhold the flow of abundance? See, money is just a tool, and we get to work with it and play with it. Now, yes, it pays the mortgage, and yes, it buys the food, and it has an important purpose. It exists because it has an important purpose. I'm a big believer in money and the fact that we need it, and I believe that there's a shift happening now in the spiritual communities where we need to embrace the energy of money more and to not think that you can get everything for free or that you have to give away your services. Money is important. So how are we choosing to work with it? Well, the celebrities that we look to are demonstrating some of those potentials. Now, another reason why a soul would choose to be famous is for influence and the responsibility of influence. Think of fashion designers or cultural icons like Steve Jobs, writers, authors, musicians, royalty. They're all influential. At a soul level, they have encoded energy within their work and their messages. So within their words, songs, products, it's encoded with an energy. And it could be a higher energy or a lower energy. Depends how it connects with you. It's why you may be drawn to certain music one day and a completely different music the other day. It's because of how your energy is working with the encoded energy of these items and these influential products. Maybe one day you're drawn to Beethoven's classical music, and the next day you only want to listen to rap. Well, it's not so much about the label of the music, it's about the energy within it. Because you are responding to the energy of it, and so there's influence within these items, and it's the influence that we choose. Now, to be influential in society, you choose at a soul level to have some specific goals. These goals can change. These ideas can change. We have free will. Anything can change. But usually a soul comes in wanting to accomplish certain things. One of the questions that is quite common is, are you using your power to benefit many or only yourself? If you are an influential being, how are you using that influence? Are you using it selfishly? Or are you giving it away and using it compassionately? Now, we may think the right answer, quote unquote, is to benefit many. But what if that soul did that in a previous lifetime? And now they are balancing that energy with receiving primarily. That's 100% a possibility. Another reason why someone would choose at a soul level to be influential is to help form their self-identity. If you're out there in the public eye and you're receiving everyone's projected ideals onto you, then what? Who are you really underneath? How do you identify yourself? How do you view yourself? The issue of self-identity is key. And are you influenced by others? Or are you determining that for yourself and working with your own core energy and not receiving all of those projected ideals? So self-identity plays a role in why someone would choose to be a celebrity. Another is boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. How much energy from others will you integrate and how much of your own energy will you maintain? Where do you set up those boundaries? If everyone wants a piece of you, if everyone wants your picture, and if everyone wants an autograph, how do you set up boundaries to take care of yourself and return to who you really are? That's a huge, huge issue. And a lot of celebrities are just figuring that out, and we need to allow them to figure that out and to honor privacy, to honor your private life and your children and your kids. That's a big theme right now. I mean, we hear about it in different interviews or magazines where I'm the famous person, but don't touch my kids. Well, that's a big boundary, and that deserves to be honored. So what is it about us as in the public, that wants to know the kids? Where is it that, why is it that we don't have boundaries, or why is it that we don't honor these boundaries? See, celebrities are also some of our greatest teachers, and they're showing us and reflecting back to us what is important to us and what is a priority, and they're also giving us the opportunity to choose again. Now, another reason why a celebrity could choose to be influential is to experience love, true love, and love of self. Who really loves you enough? Can anyone else really love you enough? Can you have millions of people who are loving you so much that it matters? How much do you feed off of that energy? How much do you need others to love you? Or how can you still give yourself love and fill your own needs with everyone else loving you, returning to self? Now, being of influence could also be about balancing lifetimes of being of service without receiving, and now you're receiving the acknowledgement. Now you're being recognized. Now you're making the big bucks and you're getting all the acclaim you've always wanted. On the flip side, it could be that you're brand new to this world and it's overwhelming, and receiving all of the notoriety and the PR requests and being in the media is a little scary. You're not quite ready for it, but it's helping you grow, and it's balancing out future choices that you may be making for your soul's growth, where you decide, okay, I've had a lifetime of fame, and now I'm ready for quiet. I'm ready to be a monk. I'm ready to blend in with the crowd and not stand out. So it's important to know that every celebrity at a soul level has made a choice to learn certain lessons and to grow in certain ways based on what they're experiencing now. I mentioned that I felt Princess Diana's energy. I did another show sometime back in the summer where I had Whitney Houston's energy around me for a while, which was just so beautiful. And so I occasionally feel these energies come in and out. It's not every day. I never expect it. And I'll be honest with you, I doubt it. A part of me sits there and thinks, is this real? Am I crazy? And then I sink into it, and I go into a deeper state of calm and meditation, and I know that it's 100% pure and true. And that's also what I need to hear and feel, is that I'm not just making it up and it's not just something that I pulled out of nowhere, that it's real. And so I just want to share with you a brief message about what I'm feeling as Princess Diana's energy. And I see her energy. It's very soft. It's very loving. And it feels very pure. Like, she had an energetic presence the world wasn't ready for yet. And then to be in the public eye in such an extreme way, and to be feeling so vulnerable and naive, was part of her soul choice. And she took on this role as a gift, as a way for us to reflect on how far do you want to go outside of yourself. How far away from your own energy do you want to stray because of an obsession or a need to idealize others? That is the question. How far do you want to go away from yourself? because your soul doesn't want you to go far at all. Your soul has what you need. Come back to your soul. Come back to you. Because no one else will give you what you need like you will give yourself. And her experience here was about highlighting the change of expectations and royalty, how the world has changed, how the actions of the world have changed because of our need, our insatiable need to be obsessed with others and to worship them, to idealize them, to make them this beautiful, crowning, glorious being. And that it's our need to build them up, and then we, on some level, expect them to fall. And her soul-level choice was to volunteer to show the destruction that can happen, and that we have so many other ways to come back to who we are. I also feel that she is already reincarnated somewhere in a country with a lot of people, like India or China, because her energy is going to be used. It's already being used, but she doesn't want to stand out, and she doesn't want to come forward energetically. Like it would never be a situation where you would say, oh, well, you were previously Princess Diana. It's not that at all. It's more that now she's balancing being front and center with being on the sidelines and being supportive and loving, like a nurse or a therapist or something where she's taking care of people and is able to nurture them. And, oh, wow, there's just so much love. Provide love and higher energy in a place on the globe that doesn't have it right now. Okay, so that's what I'm feeling. And interesting, too. I feel that her new existence, she's already an adult. She's not a child or a newborn or a teenager. She's already an adult, like a walk-in, like someone who literally came in to the planet ready to do their work and didn't need to go through human growth in the same way. Okay, that's really interesting. Didn't expect that to come through. But she is, her energy is still on the planet, and she is working with humanity's efforts to return to ourselves for honor and acceptance. Okay, that is all for Princess Diana part. I am adjusting my back right now. I feel my higher heart chakra, which is in the top of your back spine, really moving around right now, really moving. Just a moment while I stretch it out. Okay. The next topic, in order for souls to choose to be famous and to be celebrities, they need to have a geographical location that supports that energy. Need to have a grounding on earth where you can connect to your purpose and connect to who you are and what you need to do. And that is why there are certain locations on the planet that really focus on entertainment. Now, Hollywood is the number one place that comes to my mind, at least. The energy encoded around the globe, it's like a vortex. It's a vortex of energy that attracts those needing the energy, who give more of the same energy, and even those who neutralize the energy. So we have around the globe a variety of places where media, entertainment, the arts, creativity is highly supported and is providing platforms for people to share their gifts, which is also their platform for their soul's growth. Now, I was in meditation and I was asking about these locations because I think this is just so fascinating. It's just so darn cool. So we have Los Angeles. And I asked, well, what does Los Angeles have that makes it a vortex for this energy. Well, Los Angeles has this beautiful ability to help enhance and develop self-worth and expressing creativity. So being an artist, being an actor, being out there is helping to develop self-value and or showcasing where self-worth has the potential to develop. See, it is always a choice. So there could be some who are feeling very insecure and who just continue in that cycle of I'm not good enough, no one's going to hire me, I hope they see who I really am, I hope they acknowledge my talent. Well, if they're not doing the inner work to do that self-love, that is going to perpetuate. But Los Angeles offers a place where you can express your creativity and feel valued for it if you make that choice. The next place I was shown was New York, and New York is an entertainment hub for the theater, the arts. It's a different power, or excuse me, a different energy, and it's energy that incorporates power with financial integration. So being very wealthy and being in the entertainment business and investing your wealth and working with it, and what does that mean? How do you use that energy? New York, very different than LA, but also a place where those who wish to be in the famous arena can still work with their own energy and work with how they use their money. Okay, I'm seeing, okay, this is fascinating. Madoff, what was his name? Bernie Madoff. How he was the hub of financial dealings for many celebrities and many influential people, and how his energy affected the use of power, financial resources, and celebrity altogether, and how that fell because it wasn't built of a pure place. It wasn't growing into the next dimensional expression. Okay, that's really interesting. That's why he was in New York, is because he encapsulated that energy in a lower way. Now, the next place I'm seeing is London. And London's ability to support souls who are famous is related to power, hierarchy, and ancient practices. The way things used to be done, conserving traditional values, London being a place where royalty is still alive and still adored now, especially now with the two with William and Kate getting married, it was an insurgence of new adoration for royalty. So London is also a hot spot for celebrity, fame, fortune, but it's a different, again, it's a different formula. It includes more from the past and how you integrate that into modern times. Now, there's three more places that I saw here in my meditation. One that really caught me off guard was Sydney, Australia. And I thought, well, I don't even know what the scene is in Sydney, Australia. What is that? And I asked, and my team told me, well, it's a balancing point in the southern hemisphere. It is a strong energetic vortex that grounds some of this bigger energy in the northern hemisphere, brings it into the southern hemisphere and keeps things in balance. So, no, you might not think of Sydney, Australia as a hot spot, but at the same time, there's been a lot of movies made in New Zealand and in places in the southern hemisphere that are just being discovered and are just growing their following as being places to film important movies, Lord of the Rings, for one. So there's some places in the southern hemisphere that we might not think of as being these centers of entertainment, but they're balancing all the activity in the northern hemisphere. Another location was in India, and Mumbai came to mind. I don't know if that is where the Bollywood movies are made, but Mumbai is about fame and fortune, but it includes community. It's about involving more people in the creation process. It also includes maintaining hierarchy. So some of these systems are older, many of these systems are older, and it'll be interesting to see how movies start to shift and how they're made differently in Bollywood and in India, how things are starting to change with all this new energy that's coming into the planet. Okay, I'm feeling a big move there. In my physical systems, when I look at Mumbai, India, there's some big stuff happening there. I don't know if that means it's going to be more known, but that's what I'm feeling, so I'm just going to say it. And then the final place that came through in my meditation was Vancouver, Canada. And Vancouver, Canada is a place where movies are filmed, music is made. There is a scene there. It's more of an underground scene, and this is just how I'm reading the energy. But it's a softening of the energy. It's more nurturing. It allows people to be more free in some ways, free to express themselves, free to be themselves. Vancouver, Canada has a lot of mothering qualities to it that people are attracted to because they want to feel taken care of. There's the ability to be a bit more private, and you can breathe. I feel an exhale. So it'll be interesting to see if even more movies or more music is made in Canada, if there's more famous Canadians that we allow, I'm going to say allow, on the main stage, because it can be hard for some acts to make it. And I feel that there's this shift now where people who have been in the background have the opportunity to come forward because they are part of this new breed of celebrity that we are ready to hug, to embrace. Okay. Feeling a lot of stuff shifting. I'm feeling that a lot of people are opening up their hearts as they listen to this show, that there's a lot more compassion and love and understanding that's spreading with this information, that we're starting to see how beautiful it is, that we have people on magazine covers, that we see people on the TV and we can see them with new eyes. You know, we can see who they are at a soul level and love them. Now, speaking of television shows, another very important trend is the surge in reality shows. Here in the United States, dancing, singing, and music shows are incredibly popular. They are on every night of the week, sometimes on multiple channels. And I've observed this trend, and maybe you have too, in the past 5 to 8 years, it's just been an increase in these types of shows. Well, it's an increase because we are watching them. We want them on some level. We are accepting them, and they are grabbing our attention. So let's take a look at a few components of reality shows to understand why we are drawn to them. Why are music shows so popular? And by music, I mean singing and dancing shows, you know, dancing competitions, singing shows. They're all over the place, and they're in many, many countries all over the globe. Well, this has to do with the energetic vibrations of music. As souls, we come from advanced communication techniques that don't involve words. You know, words are actually too slow. They're too slow. They don't go fast enough. We are used to relying on energy, telepathy, and music, and different languages of light to communicate as souls because they're instantaneous, and they're immediate, and they're clear. So when we have music shows going on, the music that we're hearing and watching vibrates within us at the same level that we remember from our connections to home, home as in where our souls originated from. Music communicates with us on levels we can't even understand. It's why we have radio stations everywhere and musicians and bands, concerts, musical theater. Music is prominent here on Earth. Every culture has musical instruments. There's singing, there's dancing, celebration. Music is our expression. It's how we say who we are and communicate our truth. It has a lot of messages in it with us, for us. And this is all a reminder and connections to the bigger picture of who we are as souls. So think about how when you are feeling energetically low, listening to music, certain songs, your favorite artists, it will lift you right up, right? You're doing housework and you have to listen to a certain song, or you're in the car and you only want to listen to a certain artist, or depending on the weather or where you are or where you're traveling to, it could be the music that connects you and uplifts you. Music is so important to us, and that is why there are so many of these music shows and singing competitions, because where we come from, we all sing. We all resonate with music or play something. That is just part of who we are. So when I watch one of these music competition shows, I oftentimes close my eyes and see this beautiful, beautiful light in the soul that's singing. And I see them at a soul level, and I see that they chose to be here to offer us this energy, to connect us to this energy, and to remind us of more than we can really be cognizant of. That is why there are so many music and dancing shows right now, because they're reminders of our soul connections. Now, another part of these reality shows, and I'm talking about more the competition shows, more so than the watching people live their life in a certain way shows, is there's a theme, a panel of experts or judges sitting at a table, right? They are evaluating, they are giving feedback, they are saying what needs to improve. Well, why is that? We don't have to have those judges or panels, and sure, maybe a TV executive decided we should have celebrities sitting there behind a table to give feedback. Sure, but there's a reason. There's a very spiritual reason. It's because those judges, that panel, reminds us of our spiritual teams and guides. It's a subconscious connection to our own panel of experts who are guiding us, cheering us on, and help us be better here on Earth. You have a beautiful panel supporting you. You have people and souls working with you in your dream state and through others, through your meditations, to empower you. So we have set it up that we can see this visually on television almost any night of the week as a reminder from home, as a reminder of our soul connections to our teams. So here's an idea. It's a visualization. The next time you're flipping channels and you see a group of people sitting there behind a table with their microphones or, you know, with a cup with their latest soft drink on it, close your eyes and see each of those figures turn into a member of your spiritual team. And what energies appear? Are they masculine or feminine or neither? What do they have to say to you? What feedback do they want you to know? What advice do you need? That is the spiritual purpose of these judges and these panel of experts. That's what they're about. And I just think it's beautiful. And instead of maybe getting a little exasperated at all the different reality shows and dancing shows that are on right now, I embrace them and I get excited because I can see why we have created a culture that wants this type of entertainment. So the grand question with the spiritual purpose of celebrities is looking at what you are going to energetically contribute to the concepts of fame, celebrity, being famous, being rich, being powerful. What are you, powerful, awesome you, going to contribute? Okay, so here's some examples. How are you going to respond when someone gains 50 pounds of weight and it's all over the news? Or if someone gets drunk, gets arrested for drunk driving, or commits an act of injustice, or makes an insulting statement, or does something that could easily be deemed as stupid? How are you going to choose to react based on understanding why certain people are in the limelight and why they're on a stage? we are in a mode of responding quickly and, oh, I know, and what's best for this person, and why didn't she do this, and, oh, didn't they see how stupid that was? And we can be in this mode of having it all figured out, right? But we don't necessarily know their soul choice and soul lessons. What if the celebrity who was in the car crash is an event they set up perfectly for themselves? And they, at a soul level, said, I'm going to have this experience of being in this car crash or being arrested for a DUI. What if that is part of their soul growth? What if being married numerous times is what they chose as part of a lesson in true self-love and to fulfill soul contracts from numerous lifetimes? What if each marriage is a karmic completion, and that marriage and that divorce is celebrated by the universe, literally celebrated and cheered on and high-fived and awesome. You have three marriages. That is perfect. That's what you signed up to do. You signed up to interact with these people, to connect with them, to get married, to get divorced, and to move on, and that is perfect. What if that is part of their soul growth? What if hiding a part of their sexuality is a soul choice? Because they came here to choose and learn courage and self-love. And so the questions they're facing with are, can I share who I really am? Or am I too scared to still put it out there? The universe doesn't judge. We have free will. You can make any choice. You can choose to share your sexuality. You can choose to hide it. Both options. Have more choices, have other potentials. But what if that is part of their soul growth and none of us are need to judge it or evaluate it because we don't know the full story? See, every person is here with a divine purpose and soul lessons. And celebrities offer us more ways to extend love, to extend compassion, to extend understanding. They also offer us more ways to see ourselves and to look at our own choices and to see how we can connect with similar connections, similar lessons. And we can also, in the bigger scale, choose not to worship so much, not to put the power outside of us or the fame and the glory outside of us, to bring it back in and to honor ourselves as beautiful souls who are doing the best we can every day, who are learning and growing and changing and evolving. This is what we are all here to do. And it doesn't matter if you're on the front of a magazine. It doesn't matter if you are living in solitude somewhere. You know, we're all here for a purpose. So if we can love that, even if we don't know more information, if we can just connect there, some beautiful, beautiful opportunities await. Because in that moment, we change our consciousness and we change our energy. So next time you see a celebrity who ticks you off or you don't like or any reaction you might have, just remember that they are a soul that's here learning, doing the best they can, and that there's something about them that is needed at this time. And wow, I just think that is the coolest. So I hope this has been informative. I hope that it's been eye-opening and that it's shifting energy for us. It's shifting how we see each other. And that is all I have for this show. Thank you so much for listening. Another show next week, next Wednesday. Listen live in the archives or on iTunes. Every show is available on iTunes. Thank you so much for being here, my friends. Reach out to me if you have any more questions, and I'll connect with you soon. Namaste.
Moment I just feel so alive, alive, alive. I said I could have a moment for life.